Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're taking out our crystal balls and seeing what's ahead this year. Yao Wen, SVP of Americas at Payoneer, joins us to talk about 2023 e-commerce and payments predictions. He joined Payoneer in 2021 with over 20 years of industry experience, including 7 years working in Silicon Valley as an IT and management consultant and solution architect. Prior to Payoneer, Yao was a general manager at Amazon, where he led the U.S. global selling business to enable the U.S. based SMB sellers to expand internationally through Amazon. Before that, he worked at Microsoft as a product marketing leader. We're also joined by Dan Keyes, Senior Research Analyst of Merchant Services at Javelin Strategy and Research. Jan, Dan, it's great to have you with us today. This year, we're going to see continued changes and innovations happening in this space. Yeah, to begin, what are some of your predictions for e-commerce?
Yeah, sure. First of all, thank you for having me. So Payoneer is the industry leader in cross-border payment for many years, really empowering, you know, millions of SMB customers in the world to do well in the very much digital e-commerce. And we would like to think about Payoneer as the kind of like connective fabric among, you know, many of the e-commerce marketplace, you know, the platforms, sellers, merchants, you know, freelancers, and all the creators nowadays, you know, really providing the essential financial operation tools and service that they need to really grow their business globally. And, you know, today Payoneer is operating in more than 190 countries and territories, and we are serving more than 5 million, you know, SMB customers globally. Most of them are in the emerging markets. And also we, you know, have service across more than 7,000 trading routes. So that kind of global coverage really empowers the whole digital commerce in today's world.
We're hearing a lot of many like forward-looking conversations, especially as we head into the new year. I'm curious what your predictions are for e-commerce for 2023.
Well, I wish I have the crystal ball. You know, who knows what happened, you know, what will happen last 3 years ago, you know, and then COVID happened. So I will try to do the best I can. I think, you know, I do see from the last couple of months, I do see five trends that I can predict that's going to happen in the e-commerce space. The number one, I think because of the inflation, because of the, you know, the pricing pressure, I do see consumers are really looking for more bargains and deals when they shop online. And also as, you know, COVID situation is, you know, pretty much getting much better than, you know, even 6 months ago, more and more customers are shopping offline. That also put a lot of pricing pressure on the e-commerce marketplace. So I think trend number one, I would say, you know, people are still, the demand is still there. I think people are just be more cautious about their wallet and they're looking for more bargain deals. And I predict that, you know, the marketplace players will do more and launch more tools and resources when it comes to, you know, better deals for the consumer. And the second trend, if you think about the omni-channel trend that has happened in the last couple of years, I think for the large, deeper pocket, you know, e-commerce merchants or sellers, they will continue that trend. They will continue to build the omni-channel strategy, both technically and also from business operation perspective. However, for the small and medium size of the, you know, sellers and merchants, they really have to look at the customer acquisition cost, which is really increasing, and rethink about where they, you know, bet their e-commerce strategy. And I predict many of them will choose to go back and really focus more on their marketplace, you know, focus to really bet on that, you know, marketplace power and the economy of scale and the traffic from there. So they will really rethink about where they bet as they think about their capital allocation. Now, number three, I think it's basically being shaped by COVID. I think all the e-commerce merchant and sellers also going to be look their supplier base and try to think about where they want to hedge the risk against another supply chain disruption, right? Especially from, you know, from China. So, and, you know, we already see big news like Apple is moving their production, iPhone production out from China. So I think that's going to continue. And what that means to the e-commerce sellers, they're going to also start thinking about their supplier and the supply chain strategy overall and try to diversify, you know, maybe out of China, maybe more from, you know, Southeast Asia, you know, Latin America, even part of Europe. So I think that trend will continue and actually will accelerate, you know, in 2023 and years to come. And one more thing, you know, talking about China, and that's a very recent, news, as we all see, that, you know, and China, the Chinese government finally, you know, easing their COVID restriction and starting to open up because of the, you know, the recent, you know, protests in the country. And that will provide a huge force from the Chinese sellers. And many of them are hungry for, you know, growing their global business. And that will also mean, you know, more selection coming, more deals coming, and just more, you know, competition from that part of the world, you know, in e-commerce. I think overall it's a great news for consumers, because then once again, they have more choices and better price and better deals to, you know, to shop from. Last but not least, the creator economy is real and, you know, it's taking off. I think that trend will accelerate in 2023 as all the, you know, creator platforms like TikTok, like Instagram, like even Twitter, and all of these, you know, social commerce platforms, that they're looking for new ways to monetize that the traffic that they have. So all in all, I see many of those things will happen, and some of the trends will reverse a little bit from 2022, many of them will accelerate in 2023.
One big trend I'm looking at, and I think everyone's looking at, is what the potential of recession means for e-commerce next year and beyond that. You know, it's been a long time since there was a recession. Now, obviously, there was e-commerce in 2008 and in, you know, the years following, but it wasn't what it is today. So I'm very interested to see how the industry, you know, responds, because, you know, the reflex is that it'll be negative. You know, demand goes down, online shopping goes down. And I think that's very possible. You know, a lot of online shopping is impulse buying, and that's not ideal for, you know, for e-commerce going forward. What maybe people will shift back to stores. At the same time, you can buy so many more things online now, and online shopping can be better for budgeting, and that you can really see the price before you get to checkout. There's a chance that online shopping kind of picks up in certain categories. You know, there's no guarantee that happens, but I think that is, you know, on the table. I think we don't really know how the modern e-commerce market will respond to a recession. And, you know, when you add in, you know, supply chain issues and so on, then with recession, then you get into shipping problems. It makes e-commerce more complicated. I think there's a lot of areas of e-commerce that will change if there is a recession, which is not guaranteed, but, you know, something everyone's keeping an eye on.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that will definitely change the economics, both on the consumer side and also from the seller side, and frankly also the marketplace side. And I think the prospect of having a real recession will have a bigger impact to the e-commerce trend overall. And that goes to my point about, you know, consumers will tend to shop more for deals and really be a little bit more cautious about what to buy and how much they're willing to pay, you know, for what they buy.
Absolutely. I think it's fair to say there'll be much more appetite for promotions and deals than, you know, in a long time.
Yeah, maybe we're going to see three, you know, Prime Day, you know, 2023 from Amazon. Who knows? They only have the second one this year.
Yeah, why not add a few more?
Yeah, exactly.
It's what consumers want. And obviously, based on what you both had said, we're expecting to see some changes next year. How are fintechs helping e-commerce merchants deal, you know, with these changes?
Yeah, so I will say, and this is where, you know, companies like Payoneer come to really add value and really help the e-commerce sellers in the tough and more challenging, you know, macro situation. So first of all, I mean, fintech companies like Payoneer definitely moves much faster and, you know, than the traditional banks that many of the, you know, SMB sellers have been relying on. You know, Payoneer offers products like working capital in a much, much more flexible way and really providing sometimes a lifeline for a small and medium sized seller in a very tough, you know, environment. And so get them to really, you know, build their selection and, you know, buy the, you know, the important inventory and be competitive of spending on some of the online advertisement. So that working capital is key for many of the, you know, small, medium-sized sellers that may not necessarily get that from the banks. And frankly, also companies like Payoneer provide, you know, a very end-to-end kind of like a, you know, money in and money out service. And that's much nimbler and much cheaper, much faster in the time of, you know, real-time changes in the economy, right? So I do see Payoneer is well positioned in this environment to really help e-commerce sellers to really navigate a very tough potential recession as they think about their growth opportunities in 2023 and beyond.
On top of that, with the potential for a recession, I'm very interested to see, you know, what fintechs and other, you know, payment providers do to support companies in a way that they kind of did during the pandemic. Obviously, odds are the recession will not be, whatever recession there might be, will not be as harsh as the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, which threw, you know, almost every company for a loop and led to a lot of payments companies offering discounted products, free products, new solutions, new tools just to help companies survive. I'm not saying that fintechs and other providers will take the exact same steps or to the same degree as they did during the pandemic. But I think there, you know, there's a precedent now for when there's big macroeconomic issues for providers to step in and really make an effort to help their clients, which not only helps their clients, but also builds loyalty and leads to, you know, lasting relationships and potentially even greater revenue. So it is a two-way street. That's something that I think is happening and will continue to happen, especially if the recession picks up.
Absolutely. I think I want to add one more point on top of that. I've been, you know, looking back in the last 3 years during the COVID, meanings of new customers moving online because they got locked down at home, right? So there's no other way other than shopping online. So they almost are, you know, to some extent are forced to become digital shoppers. And also many of the SMB entrepreneurs also taking advantage of that moving online to sell online. And because of that, the digital payments, you know, online working capital, by, you know, paying your suppliers and customers, you know, digitally online has been a huge trend, partly thanks to COVID, and that trend were made possible because of fintech companies, not necessarily because of the banks. If you look at what happened in Brazil, for example, Pix in the last 3 years almost, you know, instantly became the number one real-time, you know, payment method in a traditionally a cash society. Right. And, you know, look at all that, you know, what happened in India and what's happening in China in terms of WeChat Pay and Alipay. So all of those fintech products will continue the momentum from the, you know, from the COVID era. And I personally, you know, super excited to see more innovation coming from this space and really how fintech will continue to empower and help these SMBs to really focus on their key business, which is grow their entrepreneurial business, but let the solution providers to solve many of their tax problems, right? Their, you know, payment problem, their account receivable problems, you know, their working capital problems. And then they can really look ways to grow in the time of recession.
Definitely. There are plenty of problems that businesses could use help with that, you know, there's always an opportunity to step in, especially during a recession.
Absolutely.
You both gave us a glimpse of what we can expect next year, but I'm curious about what gets you the most excited, you know, as we look ahead to 2023. Yeah, I'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. I think there's a lot to be excited about, you know, 2023. Number one, I think as the whole world is opening up, you know, now with China, almost the last big company, economy that's opening up, I do think, you know, the competition in the e-commerce space will continue to heat up. Right. So we'll see more players come into the space and really spending billions of dollars trying to build that fulfillment capacity, build their local regional sales and marketing capacity to really drive, you know, seller recruitment and really offering a deeper selection and, you know, better pricing globally. So that competition will heat up further as, you know, China opens up, as the entire world opens up now, you know, COVID is easing, right? So that's, for me, that's going to happen. I think that's great news for consumers. Now, particularly for the US SMBs, I know many of the audience are US-based e-commerce sellers. I do think this is also a great opportunity to think about global, think about outside of the US market. You know, the demand, you know, is strong, you know, both domestically and outside of the US. Think about the kind of a demand in India, right, in UK, in, you know, Latin America, right, in, you know, Mexico. So how do you, as a US-based, you know, e-commerce seller, think about global selling and look beyond of the US market by partnering with companies like Payoneer, by leveraging the product like working capital, by leveraging, you know, Payoneer's, you know, account receivable and, you know, supplier payment, you know, ways of driving that growth, global growth, not only just US. But last but not least, once again, everybody should start building a social commerce strategy. It's the infancy, it's the day one. But if you are the first one to really start developing a social commerce strategy and start, you know, investing in that area, you will be having that earlier, you know, a mover advantage and really acquire new skills outside of the traditional e-commerce to be ahead of the curve, if you will, and to grow together with that big trend that's happening in the industry.
And then for me, I'm a payments guy, and I'm really interested to see how payments can keep getting better and keep improving and making things, you know, more, removing friction, getting smoother. I think that's what I'm excited about. And social commerce is a great example of that. You know, social commerce is a relatively new, you know, online shopping option, and the checkout process is often kind of clunky depending on where you shop. You know, some have better buy buttons than others. Some have to enter information. Some it changes, doesn't save well, and that, you know, that takes away from the experience. I think social commerce online shopping will keep getting better at payments, but I also think that, you know, cross-border payments have room to improve. I think that, you know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, Brazil adopted PIX and that took off immediately. The U.S. will be introducing Fed now this year, in all likelihood. I don't think that's going to be exactly a PIX situation, but it's another development in ways to pay digitally. I think there's a lot of ways that that's going to keep improving and marching along that'll make e-commerce even easier for the consumer and ideally more appealing as well.
Absolutely. I mean, on that note, I do want to talk about the payment side. We also see on the merchant side, the real-time payments is starting to become a real demand and needs, right? So it's exactly because of the inflation and also because of the recession risk, many of the merchants and sellers, that they're looking for instant payments. They cannot wait for 2 weeks, sometimes months, to get paid by the marketplace. And I personally see a lot of, talks and also, frankly, innovation in big marketplace that they're starting to offer real-time payments to their, e-commerce sellers, to their freelancers. So I see that area in terms of the speed of innovation and the speed of go-to-market, it's going to happen, soon. And that also provides a very exciting, opportunity for both sellers and for the marketplace, to grasp.
Absolutely. It should be an exciting year.
Totally agree.
Jan, Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. It looks like we have a lot of great things to look out for in 2023. Thanks again, and we hope to have you back on soon.